These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everything's different from one year to the next. I think you keep working at it the same way. Those things haven't changed for me. I'm sure some of my statistics have changed, but you know, I think you got to look at, I feel good out there and I feel like, do I want to play better? I absolutely want to play better. I want to play as best as I possibly can for my team. And that's what my job is to do. And, you know, certainly yesterday was not a great performance. I got to go out there and play my very best these next 6 weeks to give our team the best chance. And that's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to focus on the next 2 weeks. And we got another road test, another opportunity to go up against the Jets, a division rival, in 2 weeks. And we got to have our best road game of the year. And that's what I'm expecting from us.
Okay, resetting our Patriots thoughts. So we have Bedard on for 2-4. And I can sum up his thoughts on Brady and the offense with his email, which he gave to us this morning. He said, when it comes to the Patriots offense, please ignore any talk of blueprint or Vrabel knowing the Patriots or the Titans knowing how to bring pressure against Tom Brady. This was purely self-inflicted by the Patriots. Outside of Edelman, they all stunk. Multiple plays were there to be made. The big question is why this kind of performance and why now? Something seems amiss with this offense, like something is going on behind the scenes. There's Bedard giving us a little. Thank you for that last little bit there, Bedard.
What's he know?
He knows something.
I'm sure he regrets it. Because you know what we do with something like that?
We run with it.
Put it in the Felger and Maz translator.
Like something is going on behind the scenes. So let's put it in the Felger and Maz translator. What do you think, Maz? What's the hidden story? Why is the offense struggled? The defense to me feels like status quo, no story there. Stunk before, it stinks now. There was a few games where there was fool's gold in there, where you had, you know, you held the Packers, I suppose. And so I never bought into the defense. I think the defense is the same, which is mediocre, like a lot of defenses in the league. Status quo. The fall off with the team is offense, and it looks different offensively. What's the story behind the story?
I mean, to me, I go back to the Palace Q. I think that, honestly, because this is what it looked like to me on Sunday, I don't think he believes in the team. And when I say that, I mean, I think he looks out at wide receiver and says, Josh Gordon, Chris Hogan, what am I going to throw to him anymore? He can't separate. You kept Hogan, you got rid of Amendola. That part surprises me a little because I thought Hogan was sort of in the circle of trust. But Philip Dorsett, like, I just think Brady looks at it, let alone the protection in front of him, losing his left tackle on top of it. I think he looks at it all and says, well, we're not going to win a Super Bowl with this collection of players.
Well, remember, we did find out that Hogan got hurt because of Brady and that Seth Wickersham piece going back to last year. Maybe Hogan was the leak. Maybe Hogan was the one to say.
Interesting.
Tom got me hurt.
Thank you.
See, I think it relates mostly to Bill.
Interesting.
I think it's him looking at Bill saying, this is what you're going to go with now. This is what you're going
to
do.
Does Brady have a right to complain about the offensive line? The line's been good.
No, line's been good.
No, I'm just saying, but in this game, it looked to me like he didn't trust the offensive line.
Okay, he didn't trust it, but he should have. They were fine. They weren't great, but they've been decent all year.
So there was less pressure there than you would think. But he acted like there was a lot of pressure in that
game.
Again,
Greg looked it up again. We all felt coming out of that game like Brady was harassed every play. And then you look at the actual pressure numbers. He wasn't. Sacked 3 times. Hit 3 more. Greg had it only for 11 pressures.
And he compared it to Pro Football Focus, and they had 12. So
all these guys that have looked, he was only pressured a dozen times. That's 23% of his dropbacks.
I'm telling you, watching it live, man, like he just looked panicked. He was a mess.
And
Greg charts all that, and he says that is a standard amount of pressure. That is a acceptable amount of pressure, except it felt so much worse Brady was sped up, or he fed into it, or gave into it, or whatever. And is that a common theme this year? Brady versus the blitz. Have you seen these quarterback blitz numbers?
I have.
Remember how Tom Brady used to absolutely shred the blitz?
In fact, it was the one thing you didn't do was you don't blitz him.
You never sent pressure because he diagnosed it, knew where it was coming from, whether he had a good line or a bad line. No matter who was out there, he knew where it was coming. If you blitzed him, he picked you apart. This year, this was on ESPN on the Edge matchup. Phil Perry retweeted this. Quarterback ratings against the blitz. I'll give you the top five. Number 5 is Russell Wilson at 129. Number 2 is Aaron Rodgers at 126. Number three is Drew Brees at 124. These are quarterback rings. 124.7. Andy Dalton is fourth at 124.1. Cam Newton is fifth at 114.2. Those are the top five. Let me give the bottom five in descending order. So starting at number 27 or 28, however many quarterbacks they have on this list. Bottom five. Matthew Stafford, 66.7. Case Keenum, 64.9. Josh Rosen, 63.7. Joe Flacco, 63.3. And dead last in the NFL, 59.6, Tom Brady.
Holy crap, wow. He's dead last.
The worst quarterback in the league against the Blitz, according to the NFL matchup numbers, is Tom Brady. So what's up with that? And the line has not been bad this year.
No, so look, to me, I don't know, maybe this relates to receivers. Like, you know, when there's a Blitz, certain guys are the hot guys, right? So you have to know who you are, and the receivers have to be able to pick it up, too, and understand what the responsibilities are. And maybe they're not, and this is, you know, Brady is, this is part of it.
So here's my big...
I mean, I have a hard time believing that Brady doesn't see the blitz coming, right? So there's got to be another reason, and maybe it's the receivers.
Maybe he doesn't see the blitz. I don't know. I mean, how do you know? Like, what if he's not putting in the film work that he usually does? Because he sure as hell didn't put in the work he did in the offseason.
I thought he had all the answers to the test 3 years ago.
No, it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of study and a lot of dedication. And Tom Brady admittedly ramped back on that going into the season. What's to say has that now reversed? Is he now back to 24/7 football, or is he still on this program of, I have to spend more time with my family and I'm going to change things up here? Because he certainly, admittedly, we all know, he put less into it in the offseason. Like, that was in front of all of our faces, and he admitted to it and said he wanted to do it that way. What is it in the season? Does he still meet with Bill on Tuesday nights? This is something I'd like to know. So, Patriots writers, can we ask Bill with this coming up? I guess I could jump on the phone too and ask him. But I'm just curious. This is something Tom Brady and Bill, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, the game plan is put in with the full team Wednesday morning, the first morning team meeting. Wednesday morning is when the full install of the game plan goes in for everybody. But over the years, every single Tuesday night, Bill Belichick met one-on-one with Tom Brady to go over the game plan before they presented it to the team. And they let us know this, they confirmed this, in the Football Life documentary where they actually showed Brady and Belichick going over Ravens film and Brady saying, well, we should put something here on the backside because of Ed Reed up here up top. Okay, so this is all on the record. So...
it was a great scene.
But a long story that Belichick and Brady have always met Tuesday nights. One-on-one, do they still? I'm curious. I have no idea. I'm not asking that question like I know the answer. I don't. Do they still? One-on-one, the same amount of time, the same amount of quality time, going over the game plan like they did in the past. Question. I'm really curious to know the answer. So I'm not going to give Brady a full pass on the blitz diagnosis. I don't know what kind of work he's putting in. I do know what he did in the offseason. And that was less. And I don't know how you get better at 41 by putting in less work. So I do go back to that and that whole offseason thing. So I don't know what else. So to me, that's where I go. I start with that. I also think this thing that they have with Josh Gordon is asinine. Asinine. That he's now your big third down guy, or he's your big... he had 12 effing targets in that game and caught only 4 balls. Brady went to Edelman 12 times also, and he caught 9 of them. That's a guy you give 12 times. That's a guy you throw to 12 times. They've proven that over the years. Josh effing Gordon, who still doesn't know the offense, might not be in football shape, doesn't really get open necessarily. He'll catch it in traffic. But how all of a sudden is this the go-to guy on third down? Well, how do they fall into that thing?
Good question.
I hate that. So I don't know if I blame Brady on that or Belichick or who, but I just... you got to figure that one out.
No. Well, in part, you blame Belichick for the fact that Gordon's even here. I mean, for the roster, it's Belichick. The existence of Josh Gordon is Belichick. Now, thrown on 12 times, like, you know, I don't know. I can't help you on that one. That's probably a little bit of both. But it wouldn't be 12 times if he weren't here. And why is he here? Because they left themselves thin that they had to go out and get him in the first place. So that one's on Bill.
So, like, they're targeting him as if he's a reliable guy, and that has to be the least reliable guy in the league on so many levels. So I hate that little thing that they've fallen into.
I'm telling you, that play again where Brady threw deep, and Brady threw the ball, and it fell at the 2.5-yard line. And as the ball lands, Gordon's laying on his back.
Underneath the goalpost.
Like a cockroach that got flipped over, right? With his legs in the air, under the goalpost, like on the back line of the end zone. And initially, when I watched it, I went, wow, look at how underthrown that ball is.
Was that a third down play?
I don't remember.
God, I hope not.
Look. So initially I looked at it and said, wow, Brady's lost some arm strength. And then I went back and looked at it again and said, how is that play supposed to work? Like, did Josh Gordon think he was going to catch it on the back line and be inbounds?
Okay, Maz, do you think there is an injury with Brady?
I do. I think something's wrong. The ball's not coming out with the same zip. Not consistently. And so I there's something there. Yeah. I don't know what it is. And I'm not telling you that's the ultimate reason. It's a factor. I don't know if it's the factor. But the ball, if you look at the highlights in this game, the ball didn't have a lot of zip on it. And a lot of them, it was fluttering.
Hey, Maz, that one you posted on the Facebook page yesterday where he misses White, where he normally makes that throw 10 times out of 10.
Yanked it.
He's either injured or old. We can say
so old. I'm not going old.
No, I know you don't want to. You don't want the tape.
So you know what? That's a good
No.
That's a short throw, and the ball's into the ground.
That ain't it. That ain't it, Murray. I don't think that's it. I don't think he's old.
Well, something's.
I mean, he's old, but I'm not blaming that on the tail off in play.
It's not pure age, is what you're saying.
Why didn't he do it at 40? Why is it at 41?
Well, maybe he doesn't have the same stuff running through his blood.
Okay, now we're talking training. Okay, I think he trained differently this year.
Well, but wait a minute. But using your logic, why at 40, why not at 41? If you use that logic, you should never lose it.
All I'm saying is I think it's been more, the drop-off's been more than you would say just that incremental drop-off from 40 to 41. It's been more. I just don't, I'm just not going to go with the age thing. I think that's too easy.
I think there's some sort of injury there.
I mean, I thought he was old at 36. I was wrong. I'm not playing that game.
And by the way, injury could just be, you know, sore elbow that he doesn't allow him to throw at the same velocity. So I don't mean to suggest that like his arm's about to fall
off.
Or
a knee because he can't step into the throw properly.
Something.
Yeah.
Or maybe it goes back to, again, because he missed the whole offseason. He shows up at training camp. And the first week of training camp, he suffers something and then has to get shut down for a week and a half. He didn't throw for about a week and a half there early on in camp. And is that related to showing up or not doing any of the spring stuff? Because that happens all the time. Guy shows up late camp, pulls a hammy. Did he pull a quarterback thing? And is that still lingering with him? Because he didn't put in the work in the offseason. I'll allow for that. And training camp, by the way, is Club Med anyway. It's chill Bill. It's no days off.
No days off.
Yeah. So, like, all of it.
Chill Belichick.
The biggest difference in Brady was the time he put in the offseason. There's no other. He's produced and won without Gronk before. He's played and produced without Edelman before. He's had, sure as hell, had worse offensive lines than this. What was the big difference? The big difference is how he prepared for the season. So I'm sorry, I do keep starting there. There's your Patriots reset. Back to your phones on all of it after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's something wrong with this team, you know, and I don't know if it's talent, chemistry, whatever. I think it's getting to the point and coming out of this bye week because Bill couldn't make a shakeup move at the trade deadline, maybe because they don't have the talent to trade away. Or I think it might be time for him to start getting people's attention by releasing people. I mean, and he could start with guys like Dwayne Allen and Danny Shelton. It's about that time for Bill to shake things up, to send a message to the room. I don't know what kind of move he could make, but I think in this bye week, looking at this team, something's got to change.
Thoughts on Tom Brady?
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
That Maz audio might be doctored a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's Bedard's thoughts. Those are Maz's thoughts. But Bedard says, shake it up. And then right after he leaves, the big fellow leaves at 4, they release a couple of guys.
Yeah, so Nicholas Grigsby is the one that, you know, a lot of the beat folks are making a big stink about because he was a core special teamer. The special teams have been garbage in terms of coverage. So Nicholas Grigsby out. And Kenyon Barner, it was just to make room of this Duke Dawson they brought off IR.
But I'll tell you, if that's Belichick's idea of making a statement, Nicholas freaking Grigsby.
That's not the statement.
Like, now, I do like the fact that they are holding the special teams accountable. I mean, I don't think that's a statement move, but their coverage teams have sucked. Like, you know, and
he sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
I originally said that about Sony Michel.
Yeah, no, yeah, correct. Yeah,
Jimmy's doctoring the audio back there.
Maybe a little.
But their coverage teams have been garbage since the preseason. They were bad in the
garbage.
Preseason.
No question.
They've been bad all year long.
All right, so Patriots, Rask, Celtics, your thoughts. Michael in Dartmouth on the Pats. Go ahead.
Yeah, Felgi, I want to hear your opinion on this statement. I think they should give Dorsett more snaps and hold at Hogan and Gordon less. I think Brady trusts him, and he always produces when he's out there. And he's probably the second-best possession receiver, not talking Gronk or James White, that we have. Him and Edelman out there would definitely help the offense. And just to touch on the...
Well, no, I'm going to stop you there. Agree 100%. I've been talking about this for the last couple of days. And I'm not telling you Philip Dorsett. Again, I don't want to keep pumping up Philip Dorsett. Like, I love this player. I'm just telling you, his skill set is a little more conducive to what Brady's strengths are as a quarterback, which is short to intermediate, throwing to route runners, guys who will go in and out, good footwork, quick, not necessarily fast. And I think Philip Dorsett is a poor man's all of that. Like, I don't think he's a great player, but I think he just profiles a little bit more. I mean, can I just get Philip Dorsett on a quick little 7-yard outcut as opposed to Josh Gordon 30 yards down the field on 3rd and 4? Like, that's all I want.
I mean, I wonder what happened with Dorsett.
They could sign Josh Gordon.
But is it that simple?
I think so.
You can't have them both on the field at the same time?
I don't know. I feel like Gordon took his spot.
Or Hogan. Get Hogan off the field and put Dorsett out there?
That, to me, makes more sense.
Like, either way, you look at it and you say, remember week 1, we looked at Dorsett and went, huh, maybe there's something there with this guy.
He's been around. He's worked his way through the system. He was there in the spring. Like, all that stuff. I don't know. Give it a shot, and if he sucks too, then fine. Forget it. But find something else. But the Gordon thing ain't working.
And it makes no sense, considering how well he looked in the preseason and early. And he had a good game against Miami, but I think I looked at it yesterday. I think it's 9 total targets since that game against Miami. They don't even look his way. He's never even on the field.
So maybe they can come up with that and some self-scouting this week. Josh in Worcester on Tuukka Rask. Yes, Josh.
Nah. Goodbye, Brady. Your time is up. But Tuukka, I think the whole reason why... They're giving him that excuse so that people have an idea of why he might be playing bad. So if you say he's got the flu, they're not going to think he's playing bad because of the flu. They think he's playing bad because of his family, you know?
Well, your comment line says the Bruins don't want to give Rask an excuse. And I think that's how I feel. That's how I feel. And again, without knowing, I don't know like you don't know. I don't know exactly what went on. But it kind of has that whiff because he was only out the weekend. And it would have been very, very easy for the team to say he had flu-like symptoms. And just no one would have known anything. He wouldn't have had to give a statement. He wouldn't have had to nothing. They could have just easily covered for him. If this were like an extended stay, if he had to go somewhere for 28 days, for example, or something like that, well, then you got to put him on a list or you've got to do something. You've got to announce something there.
And out of the gate, they did say it could be just a few days.
So it's like...
In other words, it wasn't like the return was unexpected.
Back spasms, like you said, you can't even, there's no way to disprove that. Headaches. And he comes back on Tuesday and gets on the flight and no one knows the difference. Are they at a point with Rask where they don't want to give him an excuse?
Yeah,
don't give him excuses? I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, that was the one thing that stood out to me. Eddie in Rhode Island on Rask. Hi, Eddie.
Yeah, I was thinking the management's just had enough of Tuukka. You know, he wasn't prepared to play that game, and the comments he made after the game where, you know, just trying to keep the score under 10, and it's all about entertainment.
That's entertainment.
And management after that says, you know, what, is this guy crazy? You know, we're going to send you a message. You know, you need a little time off to get your head together here, you know, because they have a lot of money invested in him.
Eddie, I think that's ignoring, though, that I think there is something there with Rask. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know how severe it is or, you know, I don't know anything like that, but I think there is something there.
I mean, when a guy sounds like he sounded after that game, like you just don't give a rat's ass.
There's something on his end. Okay, so there's clearly something on his end, and I, you know, everyone has said that he requested it, and I think that's consistent, and so I can see why the team would want to do what the caller said, but I don't think that's what happened. I think it started with Rask. And I think if I'm just sort of playing this game, you know, making up in my head what would have happened, it's Rask comes to them and says, I got this thing, I need to take a couple days. And they're like, okay, now you need another couple days. Okay. We're calling it a leave, Tuukka. We're going to call it a leave and figure it out.
And maybe at that stage, you know, he just says, you guys do whatever you have to do. I need a few days.
So, like, if I'm playing the guessing game, that's what I'm saying. This is an interesting thought that I don't think is going to go anywhere. Adam in Nashville, go ahead.
they're not going to hang Tuca out to dry. They're protecting him. They're protecting him because they might want to trade him later. Okay, so they're going to create something better than a bellyache, because that's all we've had for years is bellyache and little tiny injuries. They can't say that again. So here we have something else, maybe a marital problem, maybe something even worse. So maybe he'll get it fixed, and then maybe we can trade him later. Because why hang him out to dry?
Okay,
so this is your option.
So hopefully it's nothing worse than a domestic, you know, thing. But
right, and when we say domestic, meaning a home issue.
Yeah, well, we say marital, but if he's not married, then it's his partner. Right. Whatever, that's what we mean. So hopefully it's nothing more than that. Not that I would wish that on anyone. Just, you know, hopefully no one's hurt or ailing physically. The thing about the trade is whatever's going on with him, I bet teams know. I bet teams know. They've done a good job of keeping it from us, but I bet teams know. And they can find out with a phone call what's going on. So any team that's going to trade for him is going to know or not know, no matter what they call it, would be my guess. Also, interestingly, you know, there's this Tuca's and has, like everybody, these no movement clauses, these no trade clauses. Now it's limited. As he goes forward in his contract, he can block a trade to everyone but eight teams or 50. He can only be traded to eight teams now, can only be traded to 15 teams next year. Someone actually mentioned this to me because they wondered if the team has already tried to trade him. And Rask is playing games with his protected list. In other words, if you want to block a trade, you give them the 15 teams or the eight teams you would be traded to. And those eight teams are Nashville, who is Pekka Rene. And I'm just making this up, right? Or San Jose with Martin Jones and a good backup. You pick the eight teams that have the best goalies in the league who have no interest in trading for a $7 million goalie. And therefore, yeah, go ahead, trade me to them. Go ahead, trade me to the Rangers with Henke Lundqvist. They can't add me. So there's no way the Rangers could add Tuca on top of Henry Lundqvist. And so that's a way to effectively block a trade, even to the eight teams that you might give him. So like he's got protection in that contract. If he doesn't want to be traded, he ain't going to be traded.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mads.
I love it.
You were right, Mads.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
You know, when you perform the way that we did yesterday, nobody feels good about it. I mean, you don't sleep. You think about it all day. It bothers you. But at the same time, you have resolve. And you say, look, it is what it happened. You know, we take ownership of it. You know, and we got to make sure that, you know, as we move forward, we learn from mistakes. And that doesn't mean you're guaranteed victory just moving forward. It means, you know, you gotta put those words into action. And that's what we're going to try to do.
All right, more with Brady and Jim Gray from last night. I'll put that through the Felger Mass Translator, Mass?
Sure, yeah, exactly. I told you. I just said it. I'm sort of under my breath off the air. Brady doesn't believe in this team anymore.
So how did you take that quote? And again, that's what came through the Felger Mass Translator.
I'm going more by the play on Sunday. I mean, I heard Brady's voice, and I immediately thought to what he looked like on the field on Sunday, and I went, he looked like a guy that doesn't believe in the team and doesn't believe in the coach. And so, and to me, this is the stuff that shows up under adversity.
How could he not believe in the coach? How could he not believe in him? Maybe he's he doesn't have faith in him as a coach. That's ridiculous.
Okay, but I don't even mean as a coach. I just mean it. He doesn't believe in him anymore.
Well, in terms of personnel decisions, I can understand why he wouldn't believe
in him. Right, so like you're telling me he doesn't look at that and say, really, you're going to give me this instead of Tony Amendola?
His personnel is fine. I mean, he's been there before. See, I've seen this before too, Maz. He's let go of Logan Mankins. He's let go of Wes Welker. He let Deion Branch walk. You know, but Bill's done this a lot. So, yeah, Brady could be pouting about Danny Amendola, but he's been in this spot a million times before.
Yeah, but don't you think now it's a little worse?
Yeah, because he replaced it with Suck.
He's replaced it with Suck before.
Yeah, but I mean, at this point in his career at 41 where he needs a little bit of extra help, you mean you can't throw some extra money at Danny
Why does
Mendola?
Brady all of a sudden need extra help? I thought he was ageless and perfect and showing no signs of decline, folks. Why does he need help now?
So the part that bugs me more than anything about the way they played on Sunday is like Edelman had a good game, but I still don't think that their passing game has been classic Brady to Edelman.
Definitely not.
Right? You know what I mean?
Definitely not.
Like where you just get that automatic six every time.
Third and four, 6 yard option route against a linebacker, automatic.
Nobody can stop it. Right? Like I just, that hasn't been there either. So like I do look at it and say, I don't feel like Brady, I don't feel like they have the buy-in from Brady. Like,
so
that's a better way to say it.
There's something off. I agree. And I'm not telling you you're wrong. I mean, if Brady doesn't believe in Belichick, then that's on Brady. Don't be dumb.
Okay, but
you can believe in that guy. You could be sick of the guy. I'm just sort of sick of you. Like that I can see more than him not believing in him. Bill's
okay,
too good.
So all right. So we're playing semantics. But I look at it and say,
I mean, see, I think Aaron Rodgers looks at Mike
Belichick
McCarthy.
Doesn't have Brady's buy-in like he used to have it before.
Definitely. Okay, that I get.
I mean, that's the way I put it. And so go back to the Gronk thing. Bill was going to trade Gronk, and Brady goes, "What? What? You're going to do what? No, I'm putting my foot down." And so now the owner's on his side, and he's got that kind of leverage.
Once again.
But then he shows up for practice every day going, "Yeah, you were going to trade the guy. Remember?
Look, he should have."
Well, okay, so but that's not what I mean, because I think Bill was right on that one. But I'm telling you, I'm trying to look at it from Brady's point of view. That Brady's looking at it saying, you were going to trade Gronk too? You got rid of Amendola? What were you going to leave me with? Exactly, who was I supposed to go out there with on Sunday? Josh Gordon and Philip Dorsett? That's what we're going to do? So I just don't think, when I say Brady doesn't believe, Brady's not bought in the way he would be in the past. I don't think he is.
Okay, wrap it up with your thoughts. Bob and Worcester on Tom Brady. Yes, Bob.
Well, guys, Tom Brady has played 14 games. Did you see him in that game Sunday? It looked like he lost his puppy. It looked like his puppy got run over by a truck. If you watched him the game before against Green Bay, he was on point. It was a great game.
I don't agree with that.
I just think that you guys throwing him under the bus. I don't think he's all done. I think he's just tired. I think he just needs this week, this bye week. He's going to come back.
Oh, my God. He's tired in week 10? He's tired in week 10. You got another six to go and then the playoffs. God forbid what he looks like in week 19. And for the record, I don't think he's done. I've never said that. I think he's far from done.
He didn't play great against Green Bay either.
And thirdly, you think he played great against Green Bay? Didn't he set a career high for seven straight incompletions? Weren't they going nowhere for like four straight possessions and still they started running these trick plays and these deception things? He wasn't great against Green Bay.
No, he wasn't. They went through a hole there in the middle of the game. Again, Bedard gave us the numbers last week. Remember, for about 40 minutes of the game, he was 11 for 23 with 160 yards or something with a rating in the 60s.
He wasn't great in Buffalo either. He has one touchdown pass in the last three games.
Their passing game hasn't been right all year.
One touchdown pass in the last three games. For a guy who was third in the league last year in touchdown passes or whatever it was? Come on.
He ranks 18th and 16th in passer rating and completion percentage. By league standards this year, his performance has been average.
Willie in the car, what's your Patriots thought?
Hey, man, Josh Gordon is done, dude. A week ago, someone mentioned they were at the game, and they saw him walking around like he was shopping at Market Basket. And I locked in on him like this week. I know you only get so much on TV. But from the opening drive, he's walking around. He's huffing and puffing, like getting blown up off the ground. Brady's waiting for him in the huddle like a dad leaving for Thanksgiving in the pain-in-the-ass kid, like waiting for him to get in the car. It's like it's the last guy back to the huddle, and I'm telling you, it's also like someone asking me to go back to the gym and do what I was doing 5 years ago. I could never do it, and I wouldn't do it.
So, Willie, it's a good point. I've heard this, too. If you're at the game, Murray, I don't know, you were there. Did you watch this? I've heard from people at the game that – Gordon loafs it back to the huddle, loafs it to the sidelines.
I guess I haven't noticed.
That it's like sort of a recurring thing with him.
It's like a Corey Dillon behavior.
The worst I've ever seen in my life in any sport was Hanley Ramirez coming in from left field.
Oh, right.
Oh, my goodness. Like, this was, oh, wow. this was someone who he was making a mockery of himself. The time it took from him to come in from left field into the dugout in a game I was at, and you would never know unless you paid attention to it in between innings. But either way, that's Gordon. So he's either just got the dog in him, he's not in shape, or not in condition, or something. And I can see it. I mean, he catches that first slant. Brady goes to him two more times on that drive, and by the third time, he lets the ball go right through his hands. I think he's winded. I don't think he's in shape. Enough with the Josh Gordon thing. Use him as a once-in-a-while shot guy. He's not your possession guy. 12 targets? Rick in the car. Go ahead on Tom Brady.
Yeah, so, Felger, I'm not usually quite this cynical, but when you said that the only difference from last year to this year was the offseason work, the first thing I thought was, well, the other thing that happened was his fellow Guerrero disciple getting dinged for, I don't know, supplements. So, like, he's thinking about his legacy at this point, and I think, you know, it's worthwhile to consider that TB12 long-term can't afford for him to be Lance Armstrong, right? Like, what if he just got scared and had to stop taking whatever he was taking?
That's the kind of conspiracy theory you run into when your trainer's client gets popped for steroids. Were all the Guerrero guys taking the same stuff? Now Julian gets popped, and now they all have to not take the stuff, and is like, so that's what you run into. You said it, not me. But I don't think that's it. I mean, it might be. Who knows? But that's not where that's not what I'm driving at. I'm driving at he put in less work. So that's where I start. It's a very simple thing. He put in less work. He expects I'm going to get better when they put in less work at 41. I don't know how that's possible. So that to me, that's what it is. But, you know, I thought the comment line said he did it because Edelman was out. Edelman was out all of last year. Edelman wasn't on the field for a single game last year when he won the MVP. So I don't want to hear that he's working with a diminished Edelman. Last year, he won the MVP with no Edelman. I've seen all the quote-unquote obstacles that he's had to face this year. I've seen him face and thrive in the past. Whether that's spotty protection, he's had much worse protection in the past than this. I think his line's fine. I think his line's good. I think he's got as good of a running game as he's ever had. I don't even care if Sony Michel's healthy. The backup receiver got yards. The line is blocked well in the running game. He's had Gronk out there for some of it. I've seen him win Super Bowls without Gronk out there at all. He won the MVP without Edelman at all. Now he's got Edelman. This isn't the worst spot he's ever been in by a long stretch. But this is the worst season he's having in a long stretch. So what is it? I don't want to hear the pieces around him. He's had worse than this.
And I'll tell you, too, like last year he played a full season, obviously. But by the end of the regular season, he wasn't playing great. He needed that 2-week break.
So that's, you know, that's a fair thing. The year he was suspended, he
only played a 12-game regular season.
Yeah.
So, like, what happens as we go on here and you get deeper in the year? I think there's the real chance with Brady that when you get into the month of December, his play's going to slip more.
Okay, so if you want to tell me that's an age thing, I think you have a little more ground to stand on, Murray, or anyone who wants to play the age game. Does that catch up to him at the end of the year? Fine. In weeks 7, 8, and 9? That shouldn't be.
I'm telling you, he did not look right on Sunday. And again, I don't know if it's injury, you know, and I say relative apathy compared to other years, or he's just not as into it or what. But the way he was spinning out of some of those throws, he did not look like a guy that wanted to be out there.
Brian in Florida has a Celtics thought. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's doing? Listen to you every day. I appreciate you guys. Great show. Jaylen Brown, next time you're watching the game, take a piece of paper, put a line down the middle, and just write down the good plays he makes and the bad plays he makes. Hmm. And try to be objective. Just try to watch him. I'll tell you, boys, if he ain't 3-1, he's not 4-1, he's at least 3-1 in bad plays to good plays. Yeah, he has an outside shot. Yeah, he can jump out of the building. But let's not forget something. He's a Caltech kid. When all the other kids were in the gym, he was in the school.
He is a smart dude. There's no question about it. I like him off the floor. Other than the, I've already got 5 rings in my back pocket. Jaylen 5 rings Brown. Right, like, I don't got any use for that nonsense. Well, he's a smart kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders.
No, him and Belichick are going to compare boats.
But is that the problem? He spent too much time in the classroom and not enough time in the gym. Is that what the caller is implying?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's where he's going. Brown, I have never been as high on Brown as other people have. I'm not telling you he sucks. The shooting has improved. He's turning into a pretty good player.
I thought he'd be better by this point.
But these two guys, Brown, Tatum, act like their names are already up in the rafters.
5 rings Brown, baby.
It's driving bananas. Like, I look at someone needs to put those two guys in their place. Like, and I say that with all the love in my heart. They haven't accomplished anything yet. There's not enough humility in those two players. for guys who combined have a little more than 3 years of experience in the league, crying out loud? Like walking around like and acting like they do on the floor? Like they're part of the championship nucleus already? There is no championship, so there is no championship nucleus. They have to earn it. Like, this is the part about the Celtics really bugging the crap out of me right now. They shouldn't be this bad. Like, the only thing that's getting in the way right now is their egos. Stop worrying about how many points you're going to score.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? Only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
So it being Tuesday during the football season means it was an appearance by Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. We'll do the 10-question segment with him. Here it is, condensed and put together by Hardy.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
I don't.
I do.
I don't.
Which player slash situation in the league best exemplifies how useless and interchangeable running backs are?
Objection! Leading the witness, probably.
Greg, who should be the next coach of the New York Jets?
Jim Harbaugh. How about someone like, I don't even know what he's doing now.
The 9-1 Chiefs playing the 9-1 Rams next Monday in Mexico City is...
It's an embarrassment, like Greg said.
And crap field.
An embarrassment.
Who is the Patriots' bye week slash point offensive and defensive MVPs?
James White and
Flowers.
Flowers.
Trey Flowers.
Who's the most overrated Patriot at the buck?
We are talking about based on this season, right?
Who is currently the biggest tool bag Patriot?
Paul Perillo.
Oh!
He's the tool bag.
Give me your current NFL power rankings 1 to 5, big boy.
Saints, Rams, Chiefs, Pats, Steelers.
Oh, he's so slow.
Ooh, you got the Pats fourth.
That's too high.
After seeing what Mike Vrabel looked like last week, I ask, what other former Patriot player from the Bill Belichick era would make for a good head coach?
Devin McCourty. I think he's, yeah.
Good one.
Okay, number one, what should be the Patriots' number one area of need at the draft next year?
Speed linebacker.
I don't care. Thoughts on Tom Brady?
He sucks.
Terrible.
Yeah, just
there you go.
He's just
so I know why you asked that draft question, because you wanted to see whether someone said quarterback.
Nope. I just was running out of questions, and that's what I came up with. But that's a good one. That's a good one. Are we done?
No. Well, one more thing here. During Greg's appearance, we got a call from Sandy in Southbridge.
Oh, yeah, this girl was awesome. Good.
She was good. Like she's had it with the Pats.
Sandy in Southbridge. Go ahead, Sandy.
I'd like to know what happened to the medical genius Guerrero that was working with the quarterback Brady and Edelman and Gronk. Oh, yeah, they were pulling off stuff left and right. What happened to the happy pills? The team looks like crap. Where's Guerrero? Is he gone? Hopefully. Ciao.
That should be the new ad for TB12.
Strong call
like
there,
the female. Who's strong, the guy who calls
guy in
up
Boston.
And says thank you?
Yeah, that's guy's wife.
Yeah.
Sandy in Southbridge. Wow, that was strong.
Felger and Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.